everybody. Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. It is Friday, August 12th, 2016. I am your host again. Got the switchboard under my control. I'm Travis Bryant, but this week I am rejoined by Bruce Mitchell, who I'll bring on right now, who I believe is on the road. I should say Bruce Two-Step Mitchell. What's happening?
Yeah, very nice. I'm on the road returning. Traffic jam in of all places, Charleston, West Virginia, so it put me back just a little bit. I got a half hour, maybe less, before I get home, but I'm still, like I said, on the road. Lots to talk about.
Wait, where'd you go?
Went to see a buddy of mine in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, okay. I for whatever reason, I thought you were in a different part of North Carolina or something. So I'm like, how'd you end up in West Virginia? But okay, no, I got you.
Yeah, coming back.
Nice long ride. Yeah, no. So glad you could join us, even though you're on the road. We've got a decent amount to talk about this week. Let me go ahead and give out all the information. If you want to call into the show, talk to me and Bruce directly. Call us on the livecast lines, I guess. 646-721-9828 is the number. Once again, that's 646-721-9828. If you can't call us, you can always shoot us an email anytime during the week, actually, anytime during the show. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com, the name of the show, @gmail.com. Well, one, looks like for us specific, about a double turn possible at SummerSlam, so we'll get to that. So those are the ways to get at us. Bruce, what is the number one thing, what is the top headline ending this week in televised pro wrestling?
Well, you know, the news came out today, I mean, there's a couple of things in TNA. Damian Sandow, you know, now is part of TNA, which actually makes sense, be a good place for him, as he said, changed his name, it gives him a place to, you know, kind of use his talent for imitation, to use his talent, and the fact that fans didn't want to see him go from WWE, and WWE did want to see him go, so that's interesting. And then whatever's going on with Billy Corgan and Dixie Carter, which I don't have a whole, if Billy Corgan was named to Dixie Carter's job, and then Dixie Carter was kicked upstairs, maybe, to the chairman of the board of TNA, but is that just rearranging some chairs and everything sort of the same, or is it that Billy Corgan now has control of, you know, of TNA, Smashing Pumpkins, and, you know, reputation for, how should I say this, ruthlessness in the music business, but I don't know that he's done a whole lot in the wrestling business that impresses anybody so far, and is this, that he just puts more money in the company so that it can meet its obligations for a while, or is this really, and Dixie Carter still have the controlling interest, or is this a, you know, a sea change in ownership finally in Total Nonstop Action Wrestling?
There's two completely different skill sets, I would imagine, not having anything to do with either of those industries, you know, making records and touring and producing music, to running a a second-rate sort of national cable wrestling company.
Yeah, but there's some things that are the same as far as business deals and contracts and dealing with talent and presenting, I mean, for lack of a better word, your art. I mean, there are some similarities there. I'm not saying that, I mean, I would think, as I said, he has a reputation of being a ruthless businessman with members of his band and, you know, people in the music industry, and has been very successful reinventing himself and reinventing Smashing Pumpkins over and over again. So I don't know. I want to see I'm getting questions about what this really means. And sometimes we see moves made in TNA, and then you see the same old TNA. Honestly, the Hardys have gotten power, and they've been successful enough for Matt Hardy to eat a fan last night. Broken Matt eat a fan last night. And, that's brought some interest to the company and some eyes on the company. And, you know, the championship picture isn't bad. It isn't great, but it isn't bad with Bobby Lashley. And, you know, I don't know. They're so flat on their back to, well, you know, what does this mean? And I'm surprised that Corgan has dabbled in wrestling and never put his own money into it. Now he's might have put a significant amount of money into it.
Anything, what's the number one mainstream wrestling story
Number one mainstream wrestling story. I mean, that's a pretty, they're national television. That's pretty mainstream. I think the third week of the brand split, the third week of the new, the real new era, and Raw being pretty crappy and pretty much a mess with a lot of, you know, not only did they not give you very much, and not even because of the Olympics, what they gave you was not very well thought out. And then, you know, SmackDown, this time was a better show, I thought. And SmackDown was okay. So I think the on-running behind-the-scenes competition creatively between the two. And then, you know, going back to pre, you know, then just the rating going back to pre-brand split levels, before we get to football, Monday Night Football, I don't know if that's so great. I mean, I'll buy the people watching the Olympics. And again, we'll see the patterns, but that doesn't seem so great to me.
No, it really doesn't. SmackDown, in pretty much all categories was a better show. Maybe even the last 2 weeks, but definitely this Monday and Tuesday this week. Let's open things up here with a call.
Have to say, the main event, the main event of the Cruiserweight Classic, the Bushi and Cedric Alexander. Cedric Alexander, I mean, both guys put on a great match, and they didn't do a second more because he's going to have to go, you know, the winner's going to have to go to the finals, or you would think, and then, and then Cedric Alexander was just tremendous. And then, you know, in losing, and then his reaction in losing, like he had lost the biggest match of his life and the chance to win this tournament, which was going to be the biggest opportunity of his life, and how he reacted and how he drew fans in. And then, you know, for a guy who has got a reputation for politicking a ton, politicking a ton in WWE, the son-in-law, I thought Triple H coming out and congratulating him and taking him to the back was a nice, you know, real gesture, personal gesture that helped everybody involved. And so I look forward, I hope that Cedric Alexander is given every chance to be the championship wrestler he can be. I mean, I've watched him a couple of times up close this year with CWF Mid-Atlantic, and that guy, I mean, he can play heel, he can play, you know, he can play striving babyface. I mean, he's got it. And the only thing he doesn't have is the size that they like. Again, we say this about a lot of people, so I'm hoping he gets that opportunity closer to the top of the card than the mid-card, or at least that he's given the opportunity to be a serious competitor, because that's where that guy can make them the most money, I think.
Yeah, he's really good. Have you been, before we go to our first caller, one last thing, are you surprised with the Cruiserweight Classic that we haven't gotten any exit promos or moving on to the next round promos from any of the talent?
I think we need some moving on to the next round promos, and maybe one or two exit promos. No one except for Cedric Alexander has really been beaten to me that, you know, Tajiri, that's that surprising or something that where you're going to go, I want to know why. I want to know what that guy's reaction is. We're still building to something, but if you're building to something, I want to start seeing some more than just these are great wrestlers doing cool moves. I want to see some personalities, and I don't know that we're getting that yet, or, you know, I would assume we're going to get it, but, yeah, I would like to see some exit interviews. I think that's a very good point.
All right, let's open things up call-wise with a 25-year Pro Wrestling Torch VIP subscriber, and you can get in queue.
Not only that, but the best-dressed VIP member. I think that's I think I can go out on a limb and say that our best, longest, and best dressed VIP member by quite an advance.
His tie game is very nice. Again, as I was going to say, you can also get in queue to talk to us, 646-721-9828. Well, we go ahead and bring Brian from Phoenix. Brian, what's happening?
Good afternoon, Travis. Good afternoon, Bruce. And thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, both of you. I really appreciate the nice, the kind words. And of course, you know, several team members, whatever you want to say, or some of my trainees came up. Well, why, hi, Brian, how come you're wearing a tie today? It's casual Friday. So everybody was wondering, for the second week in a row, how come I'm wearing a tie on Friday? So just playing, not mind games. So, anyway, to stick with wrestling, and I hope you both have a real good weekend, is that, and also sticking with the Cruiserweight Classic, is that, so we've had 16, and now we can say 18 wrestlers who are out of the tournament right now, but I'm going to stick with the original 16 who are out. I wanted to know, Bruce and Trav, who would be two that you would definitely sign out of the, you know, I hate to say loser bracket, but, you know, take the sign. Who would you, which wrestlers or which wrestler, or maybe one or two wrestlers, plural, would you sign from the loser's bracket? My two would be the Bollywood Boys, because
yeah,
I just like to see a little bit. Okay, I hate to steal that from you, Trav. But I just like to see how they would, you know, operate together. And I'm not sure if we can, and this is kind of going down a different road, or same road really, but to have a tag team. And you and I and Rich talked about this last Friday, Trav, about, you know, who would you, you know, how many people should, if they have a cruiserweight, well, how many cruiserweights should they sign to, how many cruiserweights should WWE sign? If you sign both of them, you know, it's a tag team. So that's, you know, again, a lot of guys flying around, or like in that division. So what are you and Bruce think about that, Trav?
Bruce?
I think the Bollywood Brothers are a good idea. Honest to God, even though he's not that advanced, the guy that's going to wrestle next week from China, how I would keep him in. I would keep
Hold
him.
On.
And,
but he hasn't lost yet, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm guessing he's going to lose next week. Maybe not. I mean, I do not know. That's not a spoiler. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I haven't, you know, I want to see it for myself. But I might. I would go with making sure that I got these potential markets at least some seeds that might lead to someone else coming in, or so, you know, just start training more wrestlers from you know, Jinder Mahal in there. It's like start training some more wrestlers from India if that's where they want to go with that big market. No one's been able to crack it really, but you know, do the little things early on to look down the line. 5-10 years from now, and definitely the same thing with him. And then, you know, I'm going to assume that the very best ones are already signed. I mean, I would assume that, you know, I assume that Cedric is doing well. I mean, at least in the pipeline.
I'd like the Shearer brothers, the Bollywood brothers. I'd like to see them go through the system. You know, and go through NXT, the whole deal, and then eventually get to the main roster and be a tag team, and so I'm gonna go with those guys too. Yeah. Anything else for?
Yeah, well, that's all. Actually, I have. I let other callers get on.
Wait,
say hi to Rich. Say hi to.
You know what? No. If you're, wait, what?
I'm sorry. Say it again.
So what are Brian's picks?
He said the Bollywood dude.
Okay, Bollywood. All right, I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, my question is, and this, I've heard this brought up before, and I heard it again today. So I brought it up in our GroupMe chat, and so I'd like you on the line, Brian, as Bruce says. So Bruce, I'm not sure if you've even heard this before. Maybe you have. What would you rather have to do battle with? Who would you rather fight? A horse-sized duck, one horse-sized duck, or 100 duck-sized horses?
One horse-sized duck, sure.
See, everybody, I said the same thing, and Bill Murray had a really awesome rationale. Brian, any Any input here?
What was the second thing you said? 100 duck-sized horses? What was the second? What was the other choice?
No, that's it. 100 duck-sized horses.
Or one duck, one horse-sized duck.
Horse-sized duck, yes. And remember, everybody thinks they can just somehow do something to this horse-sized duck. And I'm thinking, you're forgetting it has wings that would fit a horse-sized duck, a beak that would fit a horse-sized duck, and for frig's sake, it could fly and, like, take a crap on you from 100 feet in the air. So I take my chances with 100 little things that can't climb or, you know, do a lot, but, you know, they could kick you in the shins and stuff, sure, and your head if they got you to the ground, but you can climb up something or in a flatbed or on top of a car and, like, kick at them or something. I don't know. I'm not taking on a giant duck.
But they can climb on each other and stack up on each other.
Yeah. Oh, they have that kind of cooperation. All right, get out of here, Brian. Now he's bringing cartoons into this serious scientific question.
If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com.
Yeah, let's go back to the phone lines here and talk to Darrell from Georgia. Darrell, what's happening, man?
How you doing today, Bruce and Trail?
What's going on?
Not a thing, man. I have a three-pack for you today. The first thing, y'all kind of got on it a little bit earlier. I want y'all to really say how y'all felt about the Bushi and Cedric Alexander match. I really thought it was a five-star, but maybe a match of the year candidate. And it just showed how if Ibushi maybe win the title or whatever and go to Raw and they sign Cedric Alexander, that could be a potential match that they could have already built. The second thing is how NXT is slowly but coming back and rebuilding that roster and making a real nice roster for this NXT Brooklyn card going under the radar. And my third question is, I watched a little bit of TNA of the shoot-style promo that Aaron Rex gave, formerly Damian Sandow. I really hate that TNA have all their new guys who leave WWE cut those shoot-style promos. I want to know how y'all feel about it, and do you guys think that it make them seem not even second tier, but just low-level organization when they always have to rely on that instead of just building these guys up as big-time free agents. And that's it for me.
Yeah, I think as far as that goes, it hasn't worked, and I think there's still that fascination in TNA. What Vince Russo calls pulling back the curtain, he worked there for years. But, you know, what you're doing is putting, you know, if the guy comes out and he's really showing that he's great, and he's proving that he was misused. He's proving that, you know, he's proving that he does a great promo, and it's going to be exciting to have him there. That says everything you need to say instead of the other stuff. You do need to say, you know, this is Damon Sandow, and now he's somebody else. That's all right. But, yeah, one of the things with TNA is repeatedly doing things that they've done for years for no reason other than they've done them for years, not looking at, did they work for a while? Did they ever work? Is this effective in 2016? And, yeah, that's unfortunate. But I think he's a good piece of talent for them. We'll see, you know, we'll see where he fits, and that's going to be part of it. And there's a little better platform for him to stand on than a lot of those guys that came out of, you know, came out of WWE. You know, I wasn't used right, blah 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 blah, and then, you know, kind of showed why they weren't used right, or showed that maybe they weren't used.
Yeah, I don't have a ton to say about TNA or Aaron Rex. What was your other two? I don't even.
About Ibushi,
yeah.
And Cedric and
Alexander
had
built-in feud kind
yeah.
of thing. Yeah. Built-in, if and when they meet on the main roster, Bruce?
Yeah, I mean, you got to figure Ibushi goes wherever Nakamura goes, and if Nakamura gets established, if Finn Balor gets established, and all of a sudden you've got a different kind of match for semi-main or even main events, you know, this high level of wrestling, but can they take and make, you know, and one of the things that New Japan, I think, is, you know, G1 tournament going right now, is underrated for is turning these guys into characters, too. You know, there's a character, there's a story, there's a grudge, there's something to follow, not just these are excellent wrestlers that are going to win, you know, all, you know, putting that all together. But, yeah, you start seeing, you think about Dominoes, you really start seeing Dominoes, actually, we'll see something else. But Dominoes can really fall here in a great way. You know, Balor, actually Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Balor, Nakamura, Ayushi, you know, Cedric Alexander, and there's more to come. You know, we haven't seen... Kenta yet. So, you know, back from his injury. So that stuff can...
came back 2 weeks ago.
Huh?
He came back a week or two ago.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, we really haven't seen him much. I don't have to say much back. But, you know, all of a sudden you've got guys coming in, hopefully, to one or the other of the brands and give the people what Pedro Morales used to call it, the paraphrase, and a new kind of match. And, you know, a good fresh kind of action. If, you know, and I think Finn Balor at SummerSlam is going to tell a tale. I mean, I think that really sinks in, then the door is going to open, and I hope. So, yeah, I think that's, I think at the very least, Cedric Alexander provides him with an opponent, a story, you know, an opponent on television, a story to tell. You know, can Cedric ever beat this guy? And, you know, that... That's kind of the deal of getting top talent from somewhere else with established stories or at least established spirits against each other. And this NXT story works that way.
And your first thing or your third one, Darrell?
How NXT has came back and quietly but under the radar built their roster back like the tag team and. Down to women.
I think that's still to be seen. I think they will. I'm confident they will. They did before. They did twice before. At least major, relatively high profile, you know, kind of call ups, and then had to replenish and that kind of thing. And they've done well. This time, so far, I'm not convinced. I can't remember her name, but the one that the dark-haired woman that wears the velvet, or yeah, like the velvet outfit, velour outfit.
Billie Kay.
Yeah, she's getting a push. Like, why is she getting a push? She's not like I'm not saying she's fine in the ring. She's serviceable. It looks like, but like I said, I think I said it on Wednesday on East Coast Cast. Like, nothing about her draws me in or is compelling. At least the other one, that Liv Morgan lady, she's fine and built. You know, I mean, the other one, she's fine and all that, but nothing, you know, she's just whatever. So in the tag division, I'm not convinced. These SWAT team guys or whatever they, Authors of Pain. God, that's an awful name. I'm not. They're okay. They're good, but how long is that going to? You know, kind of seen that big bully act before. Can they consistently work at a high level? I don't know. Bruce, any input here?
I think that they should, that they can replenish, and you know, you look at that.
Of course, they should.
Yeah, I know. You look
but
at
he's
that
just
card
saying he's, they're doing a good job, and I'm just saying they're. I'm going a little against that, and you know, saying I'll wait. It's a more wait and see with me. Like, I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I'm kind of especially with you in that they've won some. They've earned some confidence, I think, and you look at NXT TakeOver, the next show, it's not bad at all, I don't think. And,
not at all.
They got to replenish, but that's the job. And they've been, yeah. You know, Cruiserweight Tournament, it looks to me like, you know, that some of the, you know, the best ones are going to end up in NXT or, you know, maybe even in the WWE, but at least in NXT. And that should go a long way. I expect you're going to have some projects. That doesn't bother me. They need to have some projects. And when you have projects, some of them are going to catch on and some of them are not. It's still developmental. So, you know, that's I have some faith in them. We'll see.
And real quick, Darrell, 100 duck-sized horses or one giant or one horse-sized duck? Who would you rather fight?
One horse-sized duck, because if I can't beat it, I know I can outrun it. Short legs, not catching me.
It can fly. It's a duck. What are you talking about? Outrun it. Why would it run? It can fly. It has wings. Giant wings that it'll smack you with. But, no, I get your point.
But it can't. Thanks. It don't have no feet to hook me and grab me so I can jump and dodge out of the way.
Oh, yeah, okay. Good point. All right, man. Thanks. Okay, Bruce, with your fist pumping. Yeah, team big horse or duck horse. boy. All right,
I can see that. So.
Say what? You have to be.
I'm about to be on time next week, so I'm about to be on time next Friday night. I can see that. So.
Yeah, man. I'm in control. So, all right, let's talk to Kylan. Bring it. You know what? Sorry, Kylan. I skipped somebody in the queue. We're going to go to Scott, New Jersey. Scott, welcome to the live cast. What's happening?
Happy Friday, Travis. Happy Friday, Bruce. What's going on, guys?
My man,
up,
Scott.
My man, Bruce, you guys rock and definitely enjoyed that little extra VIP audio with you and Jim Valley. Really cool for VIP members. That was posted yesterday. Guys, two questions. I'm going to follow up with what's been being discussed about the Cruiserweight Classic. I just enjoyed that Bushi-Alexander match so much on Wednesday night. And my two things coming from that I have questions about. First one, and you mentioned already, Bruce, the Triple H character that he played, you know, the real Triple H, the one that we see with the Cruiserweights, with NXT, do you think we'll ever get to see that version of Triple H with the main roster?
Sure.
Like the proud father.
Yeah, definitely. I think so.
Because don't you think, though, that would create such goodwill? Like, you see how, you know, that ending, I really enjoyed that. You know, the crowd, you know, I know they buy into everything down there. But I really hope that one day we get to see that, because I really think it's a positive. I think it would create goodwill. I think it would be great for business.
See, when we see everybody's daddy, Triple H, the proud papa character that we see in NXT, that I also think was just natural. But we see that on the main roster. When we see that in WWE, he played babyface commissioner. And, you know,
I think eventually. I hope so, and I think eventually the story's going to get there. And hopefully they don't go against what's probably just going to be the natural you know, storytelling wave anyway, along with the fact that the fans are probably going to get sick and tired of his heel act if he comes back to TV and stays heel for just, you know, it's just like a tag, oh, for the foreseeable future. Like when Seth Rollins came back and cut that promo on Raw, like, oh, well, can't come back from that. You know, we got to wait a year or two before, at least, before he can try to come back from that. So hopefully Triple H, when he comes back to TV, doesn't do that and gives us hope that he'll you know, be more NXT Triple H and less, you know, authority Triple H.
I just think it's perfect. I think he, you know, he embraces it. He loves the business, and give him a chance to let that shine through. Guys, my other thing, I have two more questions real quick. First one is this. During that Alexander Bushi match, one of the things that reminded me of was right before the finish when they said there are 5 minutes remaining in the match. Now, can I ask something that's totally crazy? Why are draws totally out in wrestling? Now, I know I missed a couple years
there.
Well, I know it's a tournament, but don't you think that that still plays a role? Wouldn't a draw be important still to bring that back to the main roster for WWE?
But you mean a time limit draw, not a double DQ or a double count out?
I mean a time limit draw. Yeah, Trav. And I know, you know, I know it's old school, and that's another way to go about
old school.
They don't do
time limits. They can't all of a sudden do it. I mean, I guess they could do what they want, but, yeah. I mean, Cena Michaels went 54 minutes. Why wasn't that called at the 20, 30, or 40-minute mark? They let that go almost an hour. Would it have gotten called if it went 60? Who knows? So they're fast and loose. It's not even a thing.
Is there a reason they got rid of it? Is there a reason, Bruce or Trav, that there are that they shifted away after so many years with no time limit draws?
Yeah, I think that when you're character-based instead of character and work-based, or you're character-based instead of work-based, to me the ideal is both. You can't always have both, but you want to strive for that. When you're character-based, which WWE was until, you know, Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels really changed that, and added more work to the mix. You don't want to go 20 minutes with guys. And then when they started expanding it, they hadn't had 20 minute time limit. They hadn't set it. You have to have most of your matches be a 20 minute time limit, and then they end before the 20 minutes pretty consistently, and then every once in a while you do that 20 minute draw. But fighting in the work wasn't getting people over, so the characters were getting you were over by your gimmick and your character. So they just haven't established that. They might be able to, but it would have to be. I think you do it very subtly. I think you start saying this match is a 20-minute time limit, and then you go, our referee is, you know, Charles Robinson, and they've stopped all that too. There's a lot of little things you have to bring back in order to do that, and. You know, I think Cedric Alexander would have gotten over in a draw, you know, kicking out, kicking out, and kicking out. But I haven't seen very many WWE matches where people would accept that. I think they've trained their fans to think that there's going to be in most matches a definitive finish. So I think that if you did it now, if you did it on Sunday Night Pay-Per-View, they'd be pissed. If you did it Raw, they'd be confused.
If you did it in this particular tournament, you better have damn good reason to have both guys go out and the next guy get a bye, you know, like minusing matches. Like people, you know, this particular audience especially would not appreciate less matches between these.
I agree.
These Allen, so.
Travis, I'm going to hang up for a minute, and then I'll be back,
okay.
All right,
no problem.
Bye, Bruce. Talk to you next week. Trav, last one for you. Did you hear anything? I read some rumors that Vince McMahon missed a couple Raws and SmackDowns over the last month. And I want to know if you've read anything about that. And when Bruce gets back on, if he's heard anything about that, I'll be listening for your work. Keep up the great job. And Travis, enjoy your weekend, my friend.
Well, thanks. But you gotta answer the question of the show now.
Oh, you're going to be mad with my answer because you know I'm going with Bruce. I go with the one, and let me explain why.
Yeah.
I think I would rather, as I think Darrell just said, I would rather focus on, well, I could not run it. I know that, Trav. But
okay.
I do think I'd rather focus, Trav, I would rather focus on one, even a beast, than 100 others. Because I think that would be too much. But
no,
you make a good point.
I totally get that rationale. But it's just that one is all engulfing. Like, they're, like, if you can't outrun it, how are you going to face, like, oh, have a 2x4 and hit it in the head? Like, it has giant wings. You think it's going to let you get that close? It has a beak that's probably 3 feet long. You know, granted, it's not the swiftest, most agile thing, but it doesn't have to be when it's just that has that wingspan and also can fly. So good luck getting away from it. But, yeah, no, 100 little things kicking at your shins and biting you and stuff.
I say this, as a father with a little kid, you should see these soccer games when there's like 20 of these little kids out there running and
just
kicking at everything.
Oh, yeah.
And that's only 20.
I did post
100.
A picture of soccer shins, soccer shin pads, and then Steve said I was cheating, but he didn't say anything about the 2x4, so I just let it slide. So, all right, Scott, good stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Trav, as always, have a great week. I appreciate it, my friend.
Same to you, buddy. Kylan, real quick, do you remember what Scott just asked that I'm supposed to ask Bruce?
What? Like, why has Vince been missing?
Oh, missing shows, missing Raws and SmackDowns, or if that's even a thing, and has he heard. Yep, appreciate that. Yeah, so what you got? What's on your mind?
First of all, I would just like to say, to add to what Bruce said, that about the referees not being mentioned, that Rod Zapata and John Cone have slowly decided to be mentioned by name by Michael Cole on Raw again.
I think it's just, you did say the refs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's a change in a personal feeling of Vince McMahon at that time. And by at the time, I mean for a 2-year stretch or a 5-year stretch or whatever. I mean, remember, there were storylines between refs. I mean, the invasion they were against each other during the invasion, and we had crooked refs and twin refs, and it's not like this is some deep-rooted, you know, when he stopped calling them by name, it wasn't like he always had this deep-rooted thing that refs should be seen and not heard, or not even seen in some, if you can help it, or whatever. It's just that's how he felt. Like, you know what? All this, no attention on anybody except the people I want to get over, and no one has any power and can go on some damn podcast, referee, such and such. They're going to go, who the hell is referee? Sam Smith or whatever. God damn it. Like, who's that? Like, we never heard of him, but you sure know who. Yeah, of course. It's just, yeah. All the names in the world. And I had 5 seconds of time to think, and I became up with Sam Smith. But, yeah, they you know who Mike Hilda is. You know who, you know who Lil Nate is, and you know who these people are. But this generation of refs, you don't know any of the refs. I don't know black ref. I don't know Asian ref. I just know them as black ref and Asian ref. I knew who Teddy Long was. Or even when he was a ref back in NWA.
The
Reed Teddy Long.
The black ref name is Justin King, I think.
Okay.
The Asian ref, I forgot his name. But anyway, on the TNA front, I actually believe that Dixie Carter is finally out based upon the press release that we have at the Torch saying that she has been assigned the Stephanie McMahon Chairman and Chief of strategic planning.
Yeah,
and
some convoluted
and,
title that yeah,
and,
means nothing to.
And global branding, which means she's probably going to be too busy traveling to different countries to care about the stuff that Billy Corgan is now being put in charge. With that being said, my question for the week is, with Billy Corgan now in this new role and not really official, and him not really officially knowing any, or not really knowing a lot about the wrestling business in an official capacity, do you think he brings in a new booking team to finally signify the change that Jim Cornette and even us regular fans have wanted for so many years?
Well, I don't think booking necessarily has been their weak point in the last, at least this year, let's just say 2016, which I saw the first 3 months of and have been following through the newsletter and audio the last 6 months, you know, 5 months of. So I don't think it's necessarily like bad booking or bad characters necessarily. It's terrible, awful, horrendous reputation. And that's why more than, you know, 300,000 or 400,000 people won't watch every week consistently. I mean, new booking team signify, I mean, I guess, but is that, again, is that where, I'm not sure if that's where the their weakness is. It could be. I'm not following that closely to know who their bookers and writers and creative, what their creative team is all about. I think I knew at some point, and again, they seem to be putting together decent TV, which is a lot more than can have been said, you know, between, you know, just say their Spike TV run, where four out of the, let me see, how long were they on Spike? I don't know, 05, whack-ass time slot. And I think finally they, yeah, whatever, I'm not getting so deep into it. Let's talk to Mike, as promised. Mike, what's happening?
Chavito, what's up, baby? How you feeling?
Doing all right, man. What's going on?
First thing, Chavito, help me understand. Because I was reading today that the finalists of the CWC, they get medals.
Oh, word. Okay.
Yeah, that's what they said. The finalists
get
medals.
It can be, like, smashed and shit, but...
Nah, they get, like, medals. And I guess, you know, whoever wins, they get the new Cruiserweight title, and they also, you know, the first Cruiserweight on Raw.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
They get the type, they get the cruise. Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that's what's being rumored, that they're bringing back, you know.
Well, they've already announced that they're bringing a Cruiserweight title back, but I didn't know it was going to be the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic is going to be crowned the new Cruiserweight champion. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like, well, and hopefully he, you know, holds that thing and reps it for, you know, a decent amount of time. So September, he got to hold it till WrestleMania, for sure.
Yeah, well,
maybe
well,
even actually defend it at WrestleMania, maybe drop it next SummerSlam or something. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, especially if it's like Ibushi or somebody, like, are they going to give it? I don't know, maybe they put the Cruiserweight title.
I think Ibushi is pretty much the odds-on favorite because, you know, Sabre
Well,
Junior,
Rich is saying that the winner isn't the champ, so... You get the medals, and that ties you. Wait, you get the medals, and that ties into the title eventually getting on Raw. And then he posts an article from WrestleZone that I guess I can click on.
Oh, yeah, because I was reading the article yesterday. I think it was either on PW Insider or The Observer, and it says the finalist gets medals, while the winner, the grand winner of the tournament is the new champion. And that, you know, that's a live special. The finals is live September 14th.
All right. Well, some conflicting, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we shall
Bruce,
see.
You're back. Anything to say about that stuff that we've just been talking about?
No.
And real quick, let me go back to Scott's last question. He wanted to know any thoughts on Vince not being at the last few Raws in SmackDown.
No, we don't know why. We don't know if it's a business reason, a personal reason.
Is that you, Dave?
They're very quiet about it, which tells you something. But I mean, they would be very quiet about whatever's going on with this man. So I think it's again like Billy Corgan, it's something to keep our eye on.
All right, Mike. Yeah, anything else for us?
Last thing. Do you think they'll try to, eventually down the line make like some sort of, addition to the club on SmackDown? And that's all I got.
Wait. I didn't even. You faded off a little. Say it again. Your question.
I said like some type of, addition to the club on SmackDown.
Any version of the club on SmackDown? You think, Bruce? I think that'd be kind of corny. Actually, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to play that where, there's a club on SmackDown and there's Finn Balor on Raw, and then somewhere down the line the Demon turns into a heel and joins, the club joins together or something. But I don't know if that's what they're looking to do. It's possible. I bet they play with that club name a little bit. So we'll see if things, keep going.
And
there's
AJ
in the mix too. So.
Yeah, Mike, you gotta answer that question. I said you got to answer that question. The ducks and the horses.
Reiterate the question to me, Chad. I know it was one giant.
Would you rather fight one horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
What?
It's so silly.
That's kind of a toss-up, because if you look at it from, the 100. All those beats tucking on you, but you got a better chance getting away.
How you gonna face 100 anything?
Right. Like there's no end to a mean. At least with that one, I might get a chance to strike it and get away and hide somewhere.
Hopefully. I appreciate you trying at least. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, so.
All right. Mike from Brooklyn, everybody. Boy. I didn't ask Kyle.
So what's the score so far?
Everybody wants to fight the one. Nobody. I don't think anybody's picked 100.
What does that tell you exactly?
It tells me that everybody's not as strategic and, forward thinking as me. That's all. But that's
you would
typical.
Be overwhelmed by 100 horse-faced ducks.
You'd be overwhelmed.
You could get away from one, but you'd be overwhelmed. You'd be kicking and all that. Maybe you get three or four, but then they get you to the ground and, peck you. Not peck you, but clack you to death.
It's terrible. I even entered, I said, okay, here's a weapon. I said, for the 100, you can have one Rambo-style knife, like big, strong, durable, sharp as hell, but you have to obviously stab 100, things to make that work and to make your, or with the big giant duck, you could have a derringer with two bullets that you still have to get up very close to get your shots off, and there's no telling that a tiny little derringer would penetrate it enough to even stab. You just might make it mad and, beak your head off and, even harder. I live for these kind of silly, hypotheticals, because I love loopholes and trying to find, the mistakes and advantages and stuff. So that's cool. 337, you are on the PW Torch Livecast. Who's this? Where are you from?
That's Brad out of Louisiana.
Brad, what's happening, man?
Nothing much. I just hopped on and I just kind of caught the end part of your scenario. What was the scenario?
That's a silly thing, and I'm sure people have been listening the whole hour is probably rolling their eyes. What would you rather fight, a horse-sized duck or 100 duck-sized horses?
Which one you pick?
I picked 100. Everybody else.
I'm thinking 100 as well. I'm thinking 100 as well.
Everybody else picked, except for Travis.
Four-star general-like abilities, Bruce. That's why.
That should tell you something. You got to let you had the easiest job of everybody on the hour. I mean, I went first. I mean, that was hard. I mean, I had to let go. But once the groundwork's been set by everybody else, you know. Anyway, just saying.
when I first heard that part, I was like, oh, that seems it was weird. It's a weird question, but I was like, yeah, okay. I think if I can handle 100, you know, 100 of those bad boys. If it depends on where we're fighting though. Like if we're in an open field, it's not happening. I need that one.
Oh but right, see, exactly. I need an urban setting where I can run on top of cars, maybe climb a fence, have like a shovel or something
yeah.
Like
you
bashing.
Can run. Wait a minute. Like Travis Bryant, the one I spent you know a week with a little while ago. You can run on top of cars and all that. I mean, we're not talking about Steven Seagal.
I'm saying if my life is on the line, if I got 100 goddamn angry tiny horses after me,
yeah,
and look, and we'll get back to the serious stuff in a second, but I also think I don't like horses. Like, they're too big and too strong and too fast. They have way too many advantages. Like, it's not fair, right? So I think the idea of being able to bash in the heads of, like, 100 horses is probably kind of appealing. Like, you little jerks, huh? Who's big and strong now, crunch? You know, that kind of thing. So what's your wrestling topic, Brad? It's on your mind.
I know I've heard everybody talk about what they think would go on last at SummerSlam, but I don't recall hearing Bruce's or yours who y'all think will go on last and who y'all think should go on last.
I think Seth Rollins will go on last.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they should go on last. I don't think. They're doing a good job of building Dolph Ziggler, but I just don't see that match going last. And I think, you know, I think the idea is to win or lose is to establish Finn Balor too. This is the opportunity, and then you look, you know, you could do John Cena and that's an important match, John Cena and AJ Styles last, because in some ways that really is the main event. But I don't think they like the symbolism of them and of that, and the fans won't like it. So. I think Seth Rollins goes last.
I have a weird feeling that even though I think Balor and Seth should go on last, I have a feeling that it's going to be Brock and Orton because I guess I'm using
that would be really interesting. That would be the special attraction match.
Yeah, but I mean, last year the main event was a special attraction match, which was Taker and Brock.
This is true.
But there was only one world title, and they weren't trying to establish a new star and a new championship.
Yeah, so I mean, and I think it would another reason. I think it would be a much better idea for them to put Seth and Balor on last is because you know it would truly. Identify Balor as a main event to his very first, you know, main roster pay-per-view, it being SummerSlam, and he's in the main event. Win or lose, I think he wins, you know?
I think so, too. I mean, depends on how it's booked, but, I think it's going to be a crowd that's going to be hungry for it. It's a big venue, big event, and you would think those two would tear the house down. So, could be.
And they're going to be in Brooklyn, so he's going to get a lot of fan support. You're going to see the reaction of all the people doing his motion with them. Like, he's in the right setting to be in the
event. But unfortunately, Seth Rollins, as good as a heel as he is, he, you know, still over as a babyface. And you know, when you talk about that, we assume that crowd's going to be, they're going to be right there. It's going to just be dampened, I think, because they're not going nuts for him. They're going to turn around and then cheer for Seth Rollins as well, at least half of them.
Yeah. Do y'all see a scenario with Balor turning heel and then finally pulling the trigger with Seth going babyface at this event?
I hope not. And we had an email talking about a double turn. I want to get to real quick. Brad, good stuff. I appreciate it.
All right, y'all have a great day.
Yeah, don't be a stranger. I'm glad he brought that up because Brian Hamilton asked on the email question for Bruce and Travis. Do you think they could be setting up for a double turn at SummerSlam with Gallows and Anderson interfering to assist Balor and winning the title, hence the formation of the Balor Club as a heel faction, then Rollins becoming a babyface?
I don't see that in the I don't have that feeling right now. I mean, that would be a big shock, and I doubt it. I don't know. This doesn't seem like that's the place to do
that. I think
that.
It would
and then,
dampen
I don't know, maybe.
The idea of Balor becoming the top guy if you're going to immediately put him with two guys that they clearly, you know, I just think about those that loss Anderson had to Cena. So
And also, I don't have a problem with Randy Orton and Brock Lesnar. I don't have a problem with them establishing that it's a big deal to jump, you know, for one, and that match is already booked, and they're at the top of the show. So I don't have any problem with that. But then if you do, the club jumps over from SmackDown on the first pay-per-view to help, you know, to help Finn Balor. I don't know, mate. I mean, it's possible, but I'd be surprised. I don't know if they're like really looking to put the club back together. I mean, it could be, but we'll see.
If you're a fan of the PW Torch livecast, you might want to consider a PW Torch VIP membership. When you do that, you get access to an exclusive RSS feed of not only ad-free, plug-free versions of every single PW Torch livecast, but also over 50 other VIP exclusive podcasts per month, including the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline. I also host three other flagship VIP exclusive podcasts: The Midweek Fix with Todd Martin, The Weekend Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, each about 2 hours in length, and the post pay-per-view roundtables with the 1 hour analysis of every WWE pay-per-view and some other ones too. Also, ad-free access to PWTorchVIP.com, and that is mobile-friendly and PC and desktop-friendly. And also access to almost three decades of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, dating back to the late 1980s, over 1,400 back issues, with my pay-per-view reports on every single pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, with star ratings and match descriptions, roundtable reviews from the staff on every pay-per-view, cover stories on the biggest story every single week in pro wrestling, march through them as a VIP member 1 week at a time, read our exclusive Torch Talks with pro wrestling's biggest names, hard-hitting editorials, backstage tidbits you will not hear anywhere else, and much more. It's all available. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Exclusive podcasts, exclusive new newsletters every week, ad-free access to our website, and access to 28-plus years of archives. It's all waiting for you if you go VIP. Find out more details, a checklist of all the benefits of being a VIP member, along with testimonials from current members and a sign-up form that's mobile-friendly. Takes about 90 seconds to sign up. Go check it out today, pwtorch.com/govip. Do you shop at amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/amazon, click on the Amazon link, and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the livecast. Thank you.
Let's go to our last caller, and let's go to the future and go to Saturday morning and talk to Jason from Australia. Jason, what's happening?
Yeah, going good, Travis and Bruce. I'll get right into it. What did you guys think of the Dean Ambrose interview with Austin?
I kind of felt bad for Dean Ambrose at the end of it because it was kind of weird. And then at the end, Steve Austin, you know, telling him to take a chance and push the envelope and all that, that's great, but he can't. You know, you literally can't do that. And time has changed, and you've got to get yourself over within the parameters, any time within the parameters of what the company will let you do. But they're not going to let him, you know, they're not going to let him do a lot. And it wasn't even pushing the, I don't know, even Austin, like, Austin puts the envelope with, you know, they're not, you can only have one guy give the finger, you know, that's already been done, and they won't let him do it. What else, you know, you can't use beer, what else are you going to use? And, you know, he's got to do something else. I kind of felt bad for him. But it was kind of, there was a disconnect between the two of them, I thought, too. It wasn't the best interview I think Austin's ever done on that.
Yeah,
no,
that's what I thought, Bruce. Yeah.
Dean Ambrose is over with me. I don't need necessarily to know how his childhood was and all that kind of stuff. And just the concept or the idea I got from it was a lot of, you know, it was okay kind of answers. And I'm actually fine with that. Like, well, all right, that actually makes me kind of like him even more a little bit for a strange reason. So yeah, I mean, you have to know your subject to put Dean Ambrose in that position, knowing his personality. Like, what did you think that was going to turn out better? Whoever's idea that was.
And well, see, I thought,
like, are they going
not
to,
like
you weren't
said,
exciting
Bruce,
enough. That,
I thought
you didn't
wasn't.
Have a good showing. That was, you know, we're going to punish you for it now.
I thought there was a disconnect between Steve Austin, the person, and Dean Ambrose, the person. I think Steve Austin, the person, would get along great with Dean Ambrose, the character. I almost felt like Austin wanted to reach across the table and sort of shake Dean up. I just thought they didn't gel together. But when he mentioned the resting on his laurels, right, what I think Austin really meant by that, because I thought that was an unfair comment as well, what I think he meant by that is I think Austin's ears perked up when Ambrose says he's got a great relationship with Vince McMahon. I think Austin thought to himself, oh, you have a great relationship with Vince McMahon. He's your favorite wrestler. Well, let's just see let's just see how you go a little bit later on. Because Vince's personality can turn on a dime, and you can be his favorite now, but we'll see how you go in a couple of years' time when you're not drawing as much money. I thought that's what Austin meant by that. I thought it was a coded response. Because like you said, Bruce, for him to say that Ambrose has been resting on his laurels and he's got to push the envelope, that's just an empty statement. I think that's what he really meant.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has that frustration with the entire product that's so, you know, the so boxed in, and that's part of it. I will say this. I was very interested, and it made sense what Dean Ambrose said about Brock Lesnar. I was very surprised that, you know, that's something that would get on their air. It's live and everything, but they had to know he was going to say it. And, you know, I mean, Brock Lesnar being cautious because he's got a UFC fight coming up that's worth millions of dollars, and he doesn't want to get hurt. Man, you know, what that says about a lot of things. You can't make anybody happy, including, you know, he let down Dean Ambrose. That was a very important, you know, that was a very important story for Dean Ambrose, and he was damaged after that match and after that feud with Brock.
That was actually my biggest take from what I heard. Again, just highlights of the interview was the fact that he said every single thing he went to Brock with, he turned down. Like, everything wasn't of, let's bring back CZW and let me take a weed whacker to your chest or anything. Like, everything wasn't a superplex from the what could it have been? That it was just stuff so Dean could shine, and I bet, and Brock was just like, no, that doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah. He's not saying it in an honest way. He's saying it because he's got, he's got the definition of a hidden agenda in that case.
Yeah.
Yes.
With Brock Lesnar, are you of the opinion that when he finally loses, because he hasn't really lost yet in a few years since he defeated The Undertaker, are you of the opinion that the next loss he has should be his last match in WWE? Like, I'm just trying to think how do you get the most out of Lesnar now, because I hate to say this, I sort of think he's a bit of damaged goods right now. If he had to have one final person, if he had to have one person to defeat him, and that would be Lesnar's last match, and that person would get over, would you be tempted to go with a heel like Rusev to sort of push the heat onto him, or do you go with a Roman Reigns or a Cesaro type? Who do you book if it's Lesnar's last match and he's going to lose?
Well, I don't know if it's Lesnar's last match in a little bit over a week, but I expect Randy Orton to beat him with an RKO. So, and I think that might be the best thing to do, because that will I mean, they've got something going with Randy Orton's RKO now, and so that, to me, that's the step to make, and then you can, you know, and then Brock Lesnar goes away, and so I don't know if he wants revenge later or whatever it is, he just goes into whatever his WrestleMania program is, but no, I would, I wouldn't have a heel beat him, I'd have a babyface beat him. I'd have someone credible, you know, in other words, not Finn Balor, not, you know, just someone that's new, I'm not sure who it would be, but someone that's new and credible that can take his offense and put him in a position where when they beat him, you know, they look like the man. So I don't know the answer to that, but that's what I'd be looking
Aaron
for.
Aaron Corbin, Braun Strowman.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Awesome.
And, Jason, before we end things, you gotta answer that question. You're not getting out of here that easily.
Well, see, I would rather take on the 100 horses. The reason being, as soon as that duck leaves its feet, you're screwed. Now, unless I have a giant piece of bread that I can feed it and distract it, so then I can beat the crap out of it, you know, punch it in the eye or something. Bruce, once that duck leaves its feet, right, and it's the size of a horse, you can't do nothing. You're screwed. So you
can
have
run
to,
away.
At least I can he's going to catch you because he can fly.
You can run over with a car. I mean, you can do something. All you got to do is get one thing. Yeah, it's a bigger challenge, but you got to get that one thing down. What the opposite way of that is once the horse face ducks, I can't believe I'm saying this, anyway, whatever they are, knock you down and then they swarm you, you might get five or six of them, but they're going to get you. Like, no.
No. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because the way that I'm booking it, I'm the big man. I'm not leaving my feet. So I can just kick the crap out of those horses. Hey, here's a better question. Would you rather face 100 Kalistos or one Brock Lesnar? I'll take on the 100 Kalistos.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There you go.
Definitely.
All right, man, good stuff. I appreciate that.
I mean, he might be able to do all those lucha things or whatever, but I'd rather take my chance on him than Brock Lesnar.
Jason from Australia, everybody. That's it. We're done. We're done for the week. We are, but no, you're not. And
no, I'm
neither
not.
Is the live cast, because we'll be back tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, for Jim Valley's Saturday morning live cast, Saturday morning wrestling live cast. And
cool. Thank you for holding the fort down for me last two shows. I do appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. What kind of pal and co-host would I be if I didn't? So that's it for us. Go 100 horse face ducks or whatever.
Oh man,
we'll talk to y'all next week. This is